Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How you doing over there?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay. Not going to complain. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So got some challenges with the old homestead. And, you know, you've been our ongoing saga.
Really? With working out the what was going to happen with the tenant or just fixing everything up?
Well, no, just the, about now $10,000 worth of repairs. This is really germane to our conversation about real estate, because a lot of people think, they watch the TV infomercials and think, hey, it'd be cool to be this, you know, landlord and you can make a lot of money, and you can, but you better have some cash flow. Because stuff breaks and our tile guy, you know, going to retile the front bathroom. So we thought, okay, this is cool. We need to do this anyway. Well, of course, he gets into it and realizes the wall is really soft. And then sure enough, as he kind of looks in it, you know, all of this.
Something had been leaking all that time?
Oh, leaking and wood rot and rotted wood.
Oh, really?
So now we've torn out a wall, and he's rebuilt that and hasn't even got to the tile yet. So you know how that goes. It's just one thing after another, it seems like. But good news is we're getting it fixed.
I still think it's worth owning because of the appreciation level over the years and the write-offs. And you can, I think, you know, you used to be able to take, I don't know if it's $25,000 a year. I have to check with the accountant because they just do all that stuff for us. But, you can write these expenses off, right? You know, it's still better than running.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
Yeah.
That's right. It just feels like, you know.
You're just right
happening.
Now in the middle of it. That's all. You're just in the middle of it. You got to go take a walk, a run, get into that, get.
And that's what you do, I know, as a realtor, right? Because I'm sure people call you and freak out and, you need to calm them down and go, you know what, this too shall pass.
Oh, absolutely. That's like a stub. You stubbed your toe today. That's all.
Yeah. And then
I don't mean to say it like that, but I still think it's better than running. Did you work out anything with the security deposit? How did that go?
Oh well, here was my conversation, because I told you here's my conversation. I've learned a lot from you, and so I was able to. I said, first of all, I'm going to take some time because I think they give you 3 weeks to actually return her. Deposit or give her a
different
list.
Different in every state. Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah.
And so I told her. She kept bugging me, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to take my time because this is an old house, and I'm not going to lie to you. There's some damages that need to be repaired and will be taken off of your deposit." And I said, "But I also want to have some experts come through and determine what is just like wear and tear that we would have to fix anyway, versus." You know what you damaged, and I mean there are broken windows, broken doors that are no brainers. They've got to be, you know. She put in a dog door, in our main door, and didn't even tell us she had dogs, six of them. So stuff like that, a little crazy.
How did she feel though? Did she feel like she owes some money back, or did she think she left?
Well, she kept thinking she would, you know, and as I had all the experts come through, including a couple realtor friends. And a couple, contractor guys. And basically I was able to sort out you know, normal wear and tear that we would have to kind of fix anyway, and then stuff that she was responsible for. And it still came to about $7,000 in repairs that are directly related to her. And so here's the way I said it, wanting to be ever the, I want to be fair and want all that. But I said, here's the bad news. You're not going to get any deposit back. The good news.
You said, okay.
I said, the good news is we're not suing you for, you know, $7,000.
What'd she say?
She said, okay. Well, I just want to know.
So she was totally fine then. She knew that there were things wrong. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
well,
she
some people
dispute.
Don't see it. Some people think, hey, I left it in pretty good shape. There's normal wear and tear. You know,
well, I gave her a list. I actually emailed her a very thorough list, and I broke it down to show her. I said, we're not going to, you know, this is normal wear and tear. These are things that were broken that need to be fixed. And
wow.
So she understood. Once you nail, you know, and she didn't dispute any of the things that needed to be fixed that were her fault. So,
right.
Yeah, it was
well, good.
It was worth it to take the time and do it right, and I've learned that from you, listening to you over the last year and a half, talk about, you know, doing things right and crossing your T's.
No, it's just like, stay, slow down, let's do it. We don't have to, yeah, we can get it. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So. But not everything works out anyhow, though, because you're dealing with people, and so that sounds like good. Do you and Monica play good guy, bad guy sometimes? Does she make the calls, or you make the calls, or you don't do that? Sometimes. I love it when
she
people say, I'll talk to my husband, I'll talk to my wife, you know, and you're like,
yeah,
okay, the decision's made.
She lets me handle kind of all the hard stuff, you know.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's, you know, smart. And that's kind of the husband's deal, and I've gotten better over the years, and not, you know, but the more and it's become more, it's now about $10,000 in damages that
I'm sorry.
We could have sued for, really. I mean, some people have told me that, you know, it's within our rights to, if we documented stuff that with pictures, that we could have gotten more money. And I you know, we're just whatever. She's a single mom, and you know, we've wanted to bless her, and we've tried to over the years. And so,
well, it's anyway. That stuff that was maliciously done was maybe leaks that were leaking, and she should have told you, and they ended up making more damage because
you
weren't
told. Yeah, and you know, just stuff like that. So it's. You know, but like you say, I know you get into those kind of situations and with homes all the time because, you know, there's what do they call it when, full disclosure, when you sell something and I guess there's people who are tempted not to, you know, maybe disclose things and all these gray areas supposedly. And
when you get into the courts, though, the attorneys are the ones that usually make the monies, and it's just hard, you know, it's hard to get into to all of it. And I think, you know, she rented for a long time, right?
Yeah, she was here 4 years, and you know, the good news is she was never late on her rent. You know, that was the good news. But really did let it go, and you know, that's what tenants typically do. It's, you know, they're not emotionally involved in the property, and so.
No, I know.
That's my story.
I've had to replace carpet and do many things on properties over the years, and it's just not. I've had some really trashed badly, which is hard. I know when I rented the large house out when I first moved to Hawaii in 99, and I ended up selling it in 2003, I think it was, because it was getting so trashed. It was just, and I think if I, hindsight's 2020, I would have had a property manager, which I didn't because I had people there helping me, you know, and I would have had somebody inspect the property. It was way back in the woods, so although people were paying rent, nobody was checking the property. So it was, you know, it was trashed. And I mean, thousands of dollars of landscaping, and the doors were busted inside. One couple apparently was fighting, and she must have been locking the doors, and he was busting them in. I mean, we're talking thousands. It's just,
wow.
It can really be, that's not fun. What we're talking about today on the show is, the first half, is fractional ownership and why it may be a good investment for you if you want to buy. And buy and then actually only have partial use of the property, not where you're actually going to live, but more like a vacation rental type of situation, you know, timeshares. A lot of people hear fractional ownership and they think it's a timeshare, and it's not actually timeshares. It's basically you're buying a week or 2 weeks of a vacation management property. The fractional ownership, you're actually owning this property, and you own it with other people, and you're basically going to get 8 weeks, 12 weeks. So, you know, it could be split up different ways. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And the differences and why it may be something you may be interested in doing. It's kind of a it's an interesting thing. So you find a lot of high-end properties. Sometimes people will go in and do fractional ownership. Many of the states, now we're not quoting state laws because it's different everywhere, but many of the states allow you to have up to 12 fractionals. Hawaii only allows 6. And so basically each party could have 2 months, you know, apiece. When they can allow 12, it's split up a little bit differently. And people can go into an LLC. It may be easier to get financing for a fractional ownership than it would be with timeshare. Most of the banks aren't going to finance a timeshare. And typically the companies that are selling timeshares are going to do the financing for you through their avenues on a fractional. So say, for example, you've talked before about you have a cabin, and one of your family members has a cabin that you go to or have been in California. Maybe somebody would want to take the cabin and split it up and fractionalize it. So they would actually come up with a price and then have the parties go in and buy it. Now, in Hawaii, you know, possibly it could be a $2 million property, and somebody may say, well, we can't afford $2 million, but we go in a fractional ownership. We only want to really live there, be there 2 months out of the year, and all of a sudden that price is cut. You know, they're splitting it. Say it's a little over $200,000. Well, what do we got? A little over $300,000 apiece, right, to get in on a $2 million property. Mm-hmm. And they're actually getting the tax benefits, the tax write-offs, ownership of a $2 million property, but they're owning a portion of it. So that's more about what fractional ownership is. So it actually tends to work out really well if you want to get into vacationship ownership. It's not timeshare. A lot of people confuse it with timeshare. But when you think about it, it can be done on a smaller scale. You can do it with a smaller property, too. It could be a $300,000 property. It doesn't have to be a $2 million property, right? So in that respect, say you have, and you could have up to 12 in most states. So if you take 300,000 divided by 12, you can see where you can get into that for a lot less money. Again, you're sharing the property, though, with somebody else, right, or other people. So the things we've talked about before, like with LLCs and HUIs, as we call it, HUIs. In Hawaii, they call it HUI when we're, you know, a bunch of people are getting in to buy a property. There, you still have to dot your I's and cross your T's. You still are getting into a partnership type of situation in a sense. You know, so you still, it's kind of nice to know the people or know who you're getting involved in. There's got to be backup plans and rules and regulations and all the stuff that you would typically have. But it's just, we talk about this many times, Randy, about, going after your dreams, putting in what you want to have, but nothing, you know, but there's a way to do things and keep certain things simple. You know, the old thing, kiss, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I there's so many ways to structure and do things to make it easier. And fractional ownership, I'm not saying it's for everybody, because there's 6 to 12 people go in, or it can be, you know, these are just the shares. I mean, you can have, you know, husband and wife could do one, or other people can do another. It's got to be set up, of course, legally. But, you know, you still, you know, somebody else might pick up the bag if the ball if somebody misses, right, or somebody in the group, you know, can't buy or can't take care of their portion of the fees or their expenses or their payments. But it's just, say somebody wanted to go in and do a fractional ownership and say you wanted to go in on a property in Europe. And, you know, it could be really neat ways to go. And some people love timeshares, but timeshare is a different type of ownership. You know, and you're getting a week, 2 weeks. I know people trade them up and they go to different areas. But we wanted to discuss, of course, our real estate. We're always bringing in little nuggets on different things, and I'm not sure how many people out there listening have heard of fractional ownership, but it's something you may want to look at into. It's like a lot of people like to have a second home, you know, and travel. But this is a way for you to have that, but not pay as much as it would cost you for a second home, you know. and do it that way. But now some people need the other homes because they might be back and forth and go, okay, I don't know when I'm going to come in and out. I want to go back and forth. But there's also situations where people know, you know, hey, I'm going to go to Hawaii and I'm going to be in, you know, somebody may say, I'm only going to the Hawaii for the winter every year. I'm going to go January, February, and March. And possibly they can work out those months where they get those months every year. Typically, like, say, in a fractional ownership, somebody may pay more for certain months than other months. You know, it's but it's so, you know, some people may want to go to Arizona or go golfing or go to Florida. And you know, the cost of a second home where you've got to shut it down, build it back up, you know, you can do it with a fractional ownership as well. So it's just something to think about.
Is it safe to say the difference then as I'm listening is the difference between, say, a timeshare and a fractional ownership? There's probably a lot of differences, but the main one seems to be that a timeshare, you know, you're just sharing with a bunch of folks. You don't even know who they are. You're just buying through a company. But a fractional ownership, is that something where you know the other owners?
Oh yeah, you should know the other owners. You really should.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, you should or should meet them or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that you don't necessarily know them. Like, say, a real estate company could be selling a property as a fractional ownership, and then it just happens that in Hawaii it's six different parties of six fractionals, or in the mainland it could be 10-12 fractionals. Yes, you may not know them, but you probably should know them. Timeshares, you absolutely aren't going to. You know how the Marriott and the Ashton and Wyndham, and they have timeshares, and you're basically, you know, you're buying that. I've had a lot of people ask us over the years if we can sell their timeshares, and of course we'll refer them or try, but they're very hard to sell is what I've found. Fractionals, I think, would be much easier to sell. It's much more of an ownership situation. Yeah. So,
okay.
But you still have fees and you still, you know, so I think it's funny. We're talking about fractional ownership with real estate because that's what we're talking about, real estate. But there's fractional ownership in so many things. Like I've looked into before, which I think would be so cool, they have fractional ownerships in jets. So instead of somebody buying your own jet and paying for the maintenance and the upkeep and the, you know, and the hours and all that, you could go in and say for $300,000, buy into a fractional, and then you have use of so much of that jet.
Wow.
So, isn't that cool? So
that
there's
would be
so
cool.
Many. Yeah, so fractional applies to many different types of situations, but that's but we're talking about real estate. So there's so many more ways to do things. People don't have to do it and make it so so people say, I really want to do this, but I'll never be able to afford it. You know, there's so many ways to investigate things, you know. And then some people may, you know, not be interested at all, but this is about, isn't it cool?
I've gone in with folks on lunch, on a fractional ownership of lunches. sometimes, right. Once in a while I'll do that when I have the money. But that's cool, thinking about the plane idea, because, yeah, I think most people think, oh, I could never afford that. Well, you know.
I love the plane idea because I'm just, you know, well, of course I'd like to fly, so.
Yeah.
They could do fractionals with boats, ships, fishing thing. You know, I mean, let's think about it. There's so many different ways that, but again, we're talking about real estate today and we're almost finished the first half.
Already? What?
It's already 20 after the hour.
Wow, man, it flies by.
Randy, you wouldn't be so cool right now if we could like translate the show into all different languages right on the spot. You have an interpreter just kind of like flips you over to this way and this way and this way. I mean, one day, huh? One day that's going to happen. So do you have any questions you can think about with fractional ownership? Or it kind of ties in with like the LLC and the HUIs and kind of getting into but there are rules and regulations and each state has different things. Oh, the other thing I do want to mention, when somebody like you want to check, like say somebody says there's a condo in Honolulu and they want to go and they want to buy, they're like, wow, let's do fractional ownership. You have to make sure you legally can do it and that they haven't written it into their bylaws and rules that they don't let you do it. Even if the state may let you do it, you still have to make sure the association. So you always want to cover yourself. Don't sock down monies. Don't go doing anything without making sure you've covered and dotted your I's and crossed your T's and checked everything out. Because of sometimes there's going to be blocks and things that they don't want you to do fractional ownerships. But overall, it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, my main thing was, the whether or not you knew the other owners. And like you say, there are situations where you may not necessarily know them, but you could probably, in that case, you at least get to obviously view their financials and know something about them. You might not know them personally, but you would want to.
It just depends on who's going in and what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
I hope you would, but.
Yeah, yeah. And so, folks, and are these more commercial or it seems
no,
like
a lot of residential
more of a
properties. A lot of residential properties do fractional.
Really?
Well, you know, you'll see a lot of high-end properties. You know, maybe it's a $2 million. It could even be a million-dollar property, depending on where it is.
Okay.
And it's going to be split up into a fractional. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, yes. Like I noticed, this wouldn't work. Like you say, it's got to work. It's got to conform to, homeowner association places. Because I was thinking there on Maui in Wailea, when you walk along the Wailea Beach Walk, say between Polo Beach and Wailea Beach there in front of the Four Seasons and whatnot, as you look up, there's all of these kind of $10 million amazing homes overlooking the ocean, and they're mostly empty because people really just show up there once or twice a year. It's
right.
Their vacation home. And, you know, your first thought, because everybody is so, you know, rent our place crazy in Hawaii, my first thought was, why aren't these rented? But then I was told that, yeah, they're not allowed to do that, in the Wailea.
Well, it depends.
Area.
Well, it depends. There's different homeowners associations that will say you can't rent, or they may say it has to be a minimum of 6 months or a year, or, you know, it depends. Or it's a shame. You have to be really careful to make sure that you're covered with that, you know.
I guess to some people it doesn't matter.
And then the fractional typically wouldn't fall under the rental side, because if all these people really own it, they could still use it for those different months, but then they have to make sure that the fractional wasn't added in, the additional language wasn't added into those rules, you know, because that could be an issue, right? So it's it's like we never assume. We just want to check it out and dot our I's and cross our T's, you know, right? And did I lose you? I think Randy just came off. I think his line just went. I'm sure he's going to come right back. Well, we were back on. I don't know what happened to Randy, but we're going to continue. His line must have cut off, and I'm sure Randy will be back soon. We're back on. We're going to continue about fractional ownership. I will take a break here in a second. And
hey, Natalie.
You just got – are you back on, huh, Randy?
What happened? We both got knocked off.
I know. We're just calling back in. I'm back on. I called in on the host line, and I said I'm back on. I don't see my number on, though.
Oh, yeah, because I called in on the host line, and somehow
You're going to have to cut that out of here, right, Randy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
How come I'm on the – are we on the radio? Because I don't see my number in. I called on the host. I see your number, but not mine.
Yeah.
But I have to see. I wouldn't hear you.
That's right. We're connected, so.
Wow.
Wacky. I don't know why. I have internet.
I'm going to call, but I wasn't saying anything. I was just getting this back on. But let me call back in. I'm going to call right back because I'm going to call the regular because you just called the host. I'm going to call regular again. You know, I called the host too. Maybe that's why my line's not showing up.
Yeah, you were on there, and then when I called
in. No, I know, but I don't want, but you're going to blip all this out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to call right back right this second because, okay, I'm going to call on the regular line because I had called on the host line just in case you weren't able to get back. Okay.
Cool.
Hey there.
And
yeah, let's just keep on rolling. I just I don't know. I guess that was a Blog Talk issue because you went out and then, but I guess you'll blip all this out. So I just got back on and started doing the fractional thing, and you came in. So
cool.
I guess what's good to know though, when I went in, we were both able to call in the host line at the same time though. So that means that must work.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I just didn't see my number, so I was just concerned. So,
yeah.
On the second half, how are we doing?
Well, we are. We had a cancellation, so it's you and I. And
okay, you know what? Then I would love to do, because we've got 5 more minutes on this side, and then poor Randy, you're going to have to tweak 5 minutes out of this because we're going like.
No
anyhow,
worries.
It's easy for you. It's so easy for you, though. That's the thing. I think it's hard for me. But why don't we wrap it up then for a couple more minutes on the grief, and why don't we either, do you want to go into it's time to heal, or do you want to go into another thing we could do is how to set, working on setting boundaries in life so that we can get our day-to-day passions done and how we can do that so that we can focus and work virtually. So you pick. What do you think? What do you think? Because we're going to just kind of roll this second half.
I think it's time to heal.
Okay.
I think we can just. This will be good practice at creating content.
But okay, Randy, we'll do it's time to heal on the second half. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do we? You're going to be blipping and cutting. So do we? We need a. We don't need a commercial in between. I want to change some of these audio clips because we've had some of the same, not the really universal ones. But I just want to be able to add a few more, right? Because I think we need some newer ones.
Fresh them
ones.
Up. Yep, fresh them up. Yep, yep.
Maybe, that'd be great.
Yep.
So, you want to go over and say it's time to heal, and maybe we can start off, we can kind of tell a little bit about how we've helped it's time to heal got started and why we're doing it and that kind of stuff, or what?
Yep. Here we go. We will fly like John Maxwell
we'll
says.
We'll be Randy and Natalie ad-libbing.
Grow your wings on the way down is what he says. So jump.
Grow your wings on the way down, and everything changes after 50.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. So we are we're back, and of course, second half of the show, we always really attempt to add value to you in terms of personal development. Personal growth, inspiration, motivation, all of that. And this second half hour of the show today, we want to really talk about healing, and want to talk about really the title of a book that will be available. We're speaking it out to the universe. It will be available, in the future. But it's a time to heal. And Natalie, I know you and I have talked about this and really need way more than, a half an hour, but this would be a good beginning for us to talk about it. We're such big believers, Monica and I, in personal healing, as it relates to, say, marriage problems, because most people who have marriage deal breakers, really often those deal breakers are people's individual woundedness kind of rubbing up against each other, and they don't even know why they're acting like they are. And so when you don't know, what do? You fight or flight. And if you can't fight, you flight. And so most people, half of the people who get divorced, I think flight, if they flee because they don't know what's going on. And so
don't you think a lot of things is, as adults, a lot of times people just shut down, they block it out. Maybe the bad feelings start coming up from years before, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know how to deal with it, don't know how to communicate. They haven't healed. And so you're right. They flight. They flight. They just bail out. Boom, I'm out of here. Or shut down or go into depression mode or, it's just amazing to me that, we're both in our 50s, right? I'm 51.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your 50s, right?
And
it's amazing to me the journey that we all go through life, and it really is about knowledge. Nobody ever has all the answers. Nobody ever knows what's right for somebody at one time or another. But it's amazing that I found it's time to heal, and we should also call it's time to feel, too, because because so many of us for years have squashed our feelings, and until we can get the feelings up and out, and the healing up and out, it's really difficult to have that centered peace that's really going to let us take our life with leaps and bounds forward into what we're here to do. Randy, I've always believed that you know, God put us on earth. Each one of us has miraculous gifts. Each one of us are miracles. And we have, each of us have different gifts than others, right? Some of us tend to, you know, are stronger in some areas than others. And when we're really living life to our fullest, we're serving and we're really making the difference in what makes our heart go pitter-patter, right? What makes our heart just this, you know, be so happy. And so I find, I've learned from, you know, experience, I think we always live life through experiences, through where we've come from. Our perceptions are always where we've been. And I had experiences where things happened in childhood, and then I had been into a relationship like in the early 90s, and some things weren't going right, and I started having feelings that I hadn't had since I was a child, and they weren't good feelings. And I went to a counselor, and I started realizing that the stuff that I hadn't worked on from childhood was coming up in my adulthood. And when I was into an abusive relationship, I didn't know it. It took a couple years to figure that out. You know, some things don't. Some things can start off beautifully and not end up that way. And it wasn't physical. This was mental abuse at that time in the 90s. That it was wreaking havoc with my past. Right? It was bringing to surface feelings and things that I hadn't dealt with. So I worked on myself for so many years, trying to work on me. And, you know, I think work in life is a work in progress, right? I don't think probably till we take our last breath, we're working, we're learning, nobody knows everything. Nobody, it's impossible. We all have just different makeups and different things we're interested in. But we all want peace and love, right? We all want to be validated. We all want to feel special. We all love to be loved. We all have certain needs, just like we need food and water and air, that are human needs that we have. And you know, it's amazing if we can find that balance and really get there, how much of a better life we can have. Is life going to be perfect? Probably not. Are we not going to have obstacles and challenges? And especially people like us, entrepreneurs, are always taking risks and challenges, right? So when we take the risks, we don't always know if it's going to work or not work. But that's part of life. I mean, people we love come and go. You know, we have deaths. I mean, it's just part of life. And it really is about accepting and working through it. And so for me, I can say an interesting life, but I really did always be, I was misindependent because I didn't want to be hurt in the sense of, like, even financially, emotionally, other ways, I just said, I'll take care of myself, I won't hurt myself, I'm okay, you know? And I've found that that so many people go through these things and they don't know why they do what they do. You know, like they don't know why, like you said, in a marriage, somebody may just take a flight and be out of there instead of working through it, right? They don't know why they do it. And lots of times people will tend to blame who they're with now or what's going on now, and it may not have anything to do with that. And that's why I'm a really big believer on it's time to heal. And I started coming to that place of knowing I wanted to write It's Time to Heal back in the fall of 2011. And I thought my journey was just moving beautifully. And then my brother died January of 2012 in a tragic motorcycle accident, as you know, that was provoked, Randy. It was a very bad situation. And I thought I was healthy. I thought I could handle a lot of things. And that happening took me to the ground. All my tools of you know, working on me all those years, all my understanding and life skills, et cetera, just kind of went out the window. But not totally. I mean, not totally, because I'm here, and I did keep things going. And I kind of was on autopilot, if need be, and you heard me. We were just starting the shows, right? And we continued, which was miraculous, because I'm sure when we go back and listen to some of those old shows, they must sound pretty bad. But but they're raw, they're real, you know. And so they, you know, in life, I think it's important for us to be able to learn to handle these things and make it through it and understand it's life. But there's so many so many doors to open, so many things to open up if you can get into your past and work on these issues. So many things that you, that can open up and release so many feelings by learning and working on abandonment issues, working on sexual abuse issues, working on, you know, abuse issues, working on, it could be eating issues. You know, people have eating disorders, right? Some people turn to drugs and alcohol. I mean, there's so many things that you can work on that really, really get you to the other side. It's interesting to me. You know, we have schools and education and college, and people have to take mandatory courses. And I'm just amazed, which maybe it's changing, that I'm just amazed we don't have more life courses like in elementary school, you know? And I have a problem with them taking God out of everything, because I think without God, we don't have anything. And I think that's a sin, and that's terrible that they're doing that. I have no problem if they would teach every single different type of religion in elementary school. I think it's great to, you know, I understand they don't want to just say one or nothing, but I think they should open it up to all, not turn it against people. You know, there was something coming out in the news with the military about Christianity, and that some of the chaplains and, you know, priests aren't supposed to be putting their views in when they're working with the military, and I think that's horrible. You know, people should be able to discuss God and discuss religion. So the it's time to heal. What we want to do is actually, in writing it, actually have other people's stories in It's Time to Heal as well, and also have other ways to work on healing, because, you know, there's talk therapy, there's ministry counseling, there's, you know, people go, of course, to workshops for all types of things. You're doing the marriage workshops, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never been through them because I've been divorced for years and years, but I don't know how your marriage workshops, I'd love to see it on video sometime, of how it works and what tools you use in that training, in that workshop. Because I would imagine, Randy, when tell me if I'm wrong, when you're doing the workshop with the marriage counseling, I mean, it's all about communicating, I would think, right? And how do you, what type of tools, or do you go in and do exercises with the people? Do they tell their story? How do you try to get in and pull that stuff out of there that's wrecking havoc? I mean, is that,
well,
do you, I mean.
Yeah, we know going in, having done this for years, that there's going to be resistance because, again, I think a lot of people don't know, you know, the lies that are driving their behavior. And so, you know, we said 50% of people, you know, the fight or flight. Well, so 50% flee, and then the other 50% who hang in there with each other, I think there's a kind of an unspoken agreement that, hey, we're not going to go there, quote unquote, with certain things just because, you know, it's a flashpoint. And so what we try and do in the marriage workshops is we try and, you know, teach communication skills. We share, you know, verses, Bible verses, because that's powerful. But often, you know, the Bible verses are kind of the why. Hey, you should do this. You should do that. Love one another. Submit to one another. Great. We know we should do those things. The Bible tells us so. How do we do that practically? And so we kind of try and break down some practical ways for people to submit to one another as couples and begin kind of the becoming one process. And it takes a lot of work. And so we do it to answer your question, is there's a teaching mode where we, you know, we obviously share, you know, kind of our story. We were hopeless and we now have the marriage we always dreamed of. It is possible. We're standing here before you as testimony to that. Does it happen overnight? No. Is it just God somehow zapping you? No. It's God helping you, and then you working through and doing the hard work of healing, of working on, you know, yourself, as well as letting him in. And that's a process that takes many of us years to let him into those broken places. So,
well, how
like
do you with the workshop that
you,
there's things you don't go into, but do they tell their story, or they just communicate among themselves, or they just kind of?
Yeah, we basically, we take up a good, usually one-third, sometimes half of the session, and have the couples go knee to knee, and then they model, they actually
They talk amongst themselves. They don't tell you what's going on.
Right. They talk amongst themselves. And
okay.
So we start with a you know, kind of an easy, lighthearted, I want each of you to speak for maybe 60 seconds. I want, you know, each of you to share how you felt on your first date. And so
really?
What you're doing is asking them to tap into some feelings that are good feelings, right? So you're starting with an easy one. It's good feelings. And you say, okay, because you mentioned earlier, and it's very true, it's time for healing, it's time for feeling. It's important that we get comfortable with feeling good and or bad. So we start with what's good. Hey, talk about that first date, you know, and as you listen, we want you to listen to your spouse's heart. We want you to hear emotions that they use, words that they use that are talking about emotions. Because we want you to repeat back the emotions that you heard. I want you to focus on the emotions. So again, we're getting to focus on the feelings. And so then in the second session, we'll actually work more on conflict resolution. So in this one, we'll say, okay, Monica and I are going to kind of model for you a conversation, the good way to do it and the wrong way to do it, where there's a conflict, where there's a problem, you know, a personal thing that maybe your spouse wishes you would address, or a flashpoint for you. And so we actually work them through how to address potentially emotional topics. And there's a whole bunch of kind of ways to do that, you know, and we talk about trigger words. I mean, we all do it. Don't use trigger words like you never, you always, you know, be careful with trigger words. You know, be careful about where you start, you know, emotionally with the conversation. Because if you do what they call, Dr. Gottman calls, a harsh start, meaning if you start the conversation kind of harshly, you really have nowhere to go and you're leaving them no room to other than to defend themselves, because you're already kind of in their face in attack mode. And trust me, you know, ladies,
they're closing
when you start
up already.
When you start up there, we men go into either shutdown mode, you know, and we withdraw, which a lot of guys do, or, you know, defense attorney mode, and we're going to fire back about why you're wrong. And it becomes
right.
This competition. So we
I
want
to ask you something. Why do men call, when women ask things, why do they call that nagging? But we never do that to them.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, we don't call it
it's
nagging.
It's annoying.
I think, honestly, it's our way of, I think, offloading responsibility. You know, you've told me about that. Why are you nagging me about that? Well, she's quote-unquote nagging you because you've not responded to her, either saying, yeah, I'll get to that garage, you know,
or haven't done anything about it. Yeah, you haven't done anything about it, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that makes,
I mean,
that makes sense.
It gets back to what you said about communication. I mean, and so we've had couples, and I'll tell you what, we just did one, you know, at a church last week, or 2 weekends ago now, and in Central California. And the second session is about empathy, which is, you know, empathy. The definition of developing empathy is leaning into another's feelings. In other words, literally becoming that person. And our contention is if a couple gets really good at empathy, which starts with really listening to the heart, you become one. And the Bible talks about,
really? You
shall become one flesh, you know. You literally become one in spirit and emotion because you're used to tapping into each other's feelings. And men, you know, not good at this, but you know, and so...
That's awesome. So if they can do... it's amazing. It's amazing.
But we had a couple, frankly, the pastor and his wife were in the conference. And the wife is pretty outspoken, so when we kind of introduced the topic of empathy... She goes, Adam, are you paying attention to the senior pastor out loud? And everybody started laughing. And he turned around and sat like right in front of us like, okay, teach me, you know. And he admitted it. This guy was really honest, which I love. He stood up and he goes, yeah, folks, I got to just admit empathy is not really something I'm good at, you know, which is interesting for a pastor to say because they should feel people's pain. But, you know, he said, and then after the session, he got up again, and he was weeping, and he said, you know what I discovered in this session? is the reason I'm not good at empathy is I'm selfish.
Really? So he was there with his wife?
Yeah, and he just confessed all that in front of people in his church.
That was
his
wife that said, that pastor, okay, got it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
it's
huge,
powerful.
Isn't it?
That's very powerful. When they can model that kind of honesty,
it
gives people the freedom, and especially men, to go, oh, okay, Pastor
but
Adam
was
honest. You know?
Right, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, but sometimes people don't know. You know, I went through that ministry counseling for a year, and before my brother died, and then the year after, you know, they would say to me, you don't feel, and I'm like, what do you mean I don't feel? And I'm extremely empathetic. I've always been empathetic. You know, that's in my industry. And they're like, for everyone else, but not yourself. And it's like, what? And then they were saying, how did you feel? Like, they bring up things from the past. Well, how did it make you feel? And I start talking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, how did you feel? And they were showing me that I do that. I have a 10. I'm very analytical. And I have a tendency to, I talk a lot. Two things we didn't know, right? So analytical and talk a lot. But that they would be getting to deep, deep stuff. And I'd be going, da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's why da-da-da-da-da, you know, and they're like, how do you feel? I'm telling you how I feel. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's how I felt. Natalie, that's not feeling. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Wow.
Do you see how, now, that's something I dealt with my whole life, and I thought when I was explaining that, I was feeling, right? And they're going, you're not, no, you're da-da-da-da-da, kind of jumping around here and there, and like, wow. And they said, that's like a protection mechanism that you do. I had no idea. I'm like thinking I'm explaining how I'm feeling, right? And so it's interesting because I know me better than anybody, but then maybe I didn't know me like I thought I knew me. And then can you imagine you're with a partner, if you're with a partner and explaining to him, you know, I could see how husband and wife could get confused where one's thinking, I did say that. I saw what I meant. No, you said this. No, you know what I mean? Like communication is truly the key and it takes work. But it's not that hard if you learn tools, like exactly what you said, where you and Monica get up and do a demonstration to show the good way to start off a conversation, the bad way, right? This is going to shut them down. This is going to, right? And but see, isn't that incredible? It's so incredible because we as humans make everything so much harder than it is. And if we have the tools and we communicate, that's why I would love to be able to do this in so many different languages, you know, like how they translate. But and you communicate, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? It makes it peaceful and it makes it wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's
part
of it's time to heal, because when we're blocking so many things and we've done it one way for so many years and we're in that fight or flight mode because we learned it as children, we learned the responses. We don't want it. We want to block it away. We want to get away from it. We want to get away from the pain. We don't want to deal with it. Leave me alone. Don't want to talk about it. Bye. Got to go. You know? And it's like we're shutting down. We're shutting it down in there. And when we can learn and pull that stuff out, it's just amazing the type of life we can have and how we – and then the tools to learn to have peace even if the world's caving in around you, even if finances aren't working the way you want them to, even if this is happening and that's happening, that you can still have that peace that day because you have the tools and you're stepping through. And I can imagine with the marriage workshops, it must be wonderful to be able to do that with another human being that you love, you know, your husband or wife. You know, I've been alone for a long, long time, so I don't, you know what I mean? I'm saying, so it must be wonderful to be able to work through that stuff. And I think the workshops you guys do are just amazing. And but it's amazing how many of us don't realize the issues we have, that if we open up and learn about them, and that's why I like this, it's time to heal, is the shift change that can happen in our life, you know. And this isn't a dress rehearsal. We only have this one time here now to get it. And we might as well live it to the best and feel and get stuff out and you know, and have a good time while we're at it too, right?
Yeah. So. Well, you know, the contention or title, you know, the topic today and title of the book, Time to Heal. Obviously, if there's healing needed, you know, there's pain, and I think all of us, you know, people. One time, somebody asked, "What's the universal emotion?" And we say, "Love." Well, you know, actually it's pain. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, has experienced pain. And pain is, I think a way to say it is, pain is inevitable, misery is an option. You know,
oh, I love that. Pain is inevitable. Misery is an option. Yeah.
Misery is really an option. Pain, what do we do with the pain? There's a processing of it. Absolutely. But it's inevitable in all of us. We're going to experience it. But misery is optional. And we can begin to process pain and really repurpose pain into passion. I really feel like, and you and I have talked about this, but, you know, literally for this, you know, we were born. I think there's no doubt that you and I bumped into each other at a conference in Orange County many, many years ago, you know.
Oh,
and
it was,
you know,
God's plan.
Been through a lot of variations and, you know, but as we're talking about this time to heal, there's destiny all over this. And, you know, one of my friends,
one of
the coaches that I know says this. He says, you know, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you discover why. And when you discover why you're born, and I know that that you and I separately, and I also think together, were born to help people process and repurpose their pain. And you can't do that unless you've been through it, you know? And so.
No. That's awesome. No, I agree. I really believe there aren't accidents in that, you know, that it's really, and it's difficult, you know, because it's like with me, I know you've been in the radio for years with me with real estate, and I get to where I'm just like, people don't, in the real estate, get the deal done. They don't appreciate it. I mean, it's getting even worse in the world, right? And you can work hours and hours and stress and all problems, and I'm good at fixing the problems, and then it's like, okay, not even a thank you. I mean, not that some people don't thank you and they're raving, but it's just like, that's your job, that's what we expect you to do, you know, kind of thing. And I've been blessed all these years to meet a lot of wonderful people. And then you get into some of their personal issues, but never to the extent of what you're able to do in the ministry counseling, what I love to do with It's Time to Heal, you know, and it's pretty pretty awesome. It's there's times I want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, forget all the rest of the stuff, let's just get into this, you know. And you can't, though, and there's other people need you in so many things, too. That's the thing. But I'll tell you, Randy, on this virtually, now I see people stuck in offices for hours and hours, and they're doing this for 20, 30 years. I'm going, oh, my God, how are they doing it? Now, it's different. You could be stuck in your office at home, you know, and still doing it, but it seems different to me, you know. I don't – I really love the freedom of what people are able to do. So
This half hour has flown by the way.
Oh, we're already at that time, aren't we? We're almost over, huh?
I love this back and forth, and we just, you know, this was totally off the top of our heads, or I should say off the top of our hearts, really, because it's our passion. And I believe that when you're passionate, you know, it just comes out, you know.
You know, and you really want to, you know, you really want to, in life, want to be able to save people, and you see tragedies, you know, I always wish my brother would have been a different situation with my baby brother. I just still am in so much pain over that, you know. And he, for anyone listening, he didn't kill himself. Somebody killed him. I mean, he got run off the road on a motorcycle, and it was a bad try. And it shouldn't have happened, and it was over a stupid love relationship. I mean, it was a bad situation. But those two, in their relationship over years, off and on, they didn't know how to communicate. They didn't have the tools. They didn't have a good relationship, you know what I mean? And it just comes back full circle that if we can learn and we can have the tools, and then of course we have boundaries, it doesn't, and it's just a healthier, happier, wonderful way to live. I mean, I, from this day forward, wouldn't tolerate, and I've been pretty strong about, you know, certain, you know, my life is, I know what I will stand for and what I won't stand for, you know, you know, and I can say when I go to the sky up there that I feel good about what I do, right?
Yeah.
You know, so and just think of all the people you can help. But it really is, knowledge is power. We just assume, of course you know that, of course you think that. No, not at all. People, you know, they can be going, and it's so enlightening though to think about when people go, wow, I've done that over and over and over and over and over for years, and now I know why I did it. And now because I know why I did it, I'm able to change it. I'm able to, just like that, like taking an eraser on a board and wipe it away and go, now I'm going to do it this way. It's that easy. And it sounds very easy, and I'm saying it's harder than it is, but I guarantee you, and I know firsthand, once you see it, once you know what it is, then your why comes out, like you said. You discover the why, you know? Once you know, like I have abandonment issues. And I didn't know I had abandonment issues. I went through talk therapy in the 90s, and talk therapy to me was a waste because you might as well just call your girlfriends up and talk. But it's good to do. That's not a waste. You have relationships with your friends. But I'm saying, but it was a waste. And then years later, found out, I had an abandonment. Well, why did anyone tell me that back then? I could have worked on that then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you would think, wow, I didn't know that. And so it's something so simple. Knowledge is power, and it's just to me, it can fix you. It can help in, you know, one weekend of your workshop could help somebody that had problems for 30 years, right? It's just amazing, and it's because of the tools that are being taught, and the empathy and the caring and what's coming out, and that's all about it is time to heal. Why we need to heal our bodies, our emotions, our everything, so that we can go and live our lives, live productive lives in what we find productive. Everybody has their different places they're at in life. Everybody has different places on where, if they want to be successful or not successful, if they want to make money or they don't care about money. You know what I mean? Like everybody has where they need to be. But just imagine how awesome it is if you can take where you need to be with the tools and knowing how beautiful and wonderful you are and knowing that God made you special for a reason and that you're okay. No more of this beating yourself up and I had that thing named stoptheguilt.com before, and then I dropped it by accident, not on purpose, because when I was like just upset, I just didn't pay attention and I didn't keep it. And then the guy that was wanted a whole bunch, the guy that took it over wanted like thousands of dollars because he said, that's a great name. And I'm like, well, it was, you know, and I felt stupid that I let it go. I didn't, you know, again, do it on purpose. And I let it go while that year of my brother's death, after my brother's death. So I went up and I took stopyourguilt.com because that's pretty strong too, right? You need to stop your guilt. So we are just about finished. And I'd love to hear the segment back on this one, how you tweak it out.
Yeah. We will do some editing and editing magic and get it done. And this half hour has been, this 30 minutes here has been amazing. And I know we had a cancellation, so we kind of jumped into this without a whole lot of notes. But I had a feeling as we talked from our hearts that a lot of content would just come out. And I know we can literally repurpose, I think, some of this in terms of book material. So maybe we should continue to talk about A Time to Heal for a while. Who knows? We'll see.
Other things or something. We can get it done.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Randy. I know it always is where our hearts go, isn't it? It's so funny. It's so, and then some of the other stuff, I'm like, okay, blah, 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 okay, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's not that way for everybody, though, because people, I mean, on the real estate, you know, I've just done it for so long. But it's very important, and it's an important part of people's lives and a good way to make money for people, too. So it's, and there's a lot going on. And, you know, I've been blessed to meet a lot of people through my industry that I've been able to counsel in my own way from my heart and my empathy to help them a little bit in their journeys, because I've had, you know, met a lot of people that are going through tough times as well at times. So, well, we are almost over, and you want to chit chat for a minute about the other thing after or something, or you want to call me back, or is that not good? I have to go over something with somebody at 10:30 here, so that would be good. Okay, so I've still got a few minutes. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is